It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, 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 Thunderstruck here on Declare Your Independence. To me, Ernest Hancock. Yeah, you miss me? Miss me, did you? I missed you. You know, but I tell you what, just in the past week and a half, we've been doing a lot of stuff. I've been gone. I got all kinds of new stories for you. I tell you what, you know, I can't leave without the world falling apart. Hell, you're out doing some golfing, and then all of a sudden you're going, yeah, what'd the stock market do? Oh, but who told you it was going to happen? You know, you got kids. I mean, you better be ready. It hasn't even started yet. This is just kind of the possibility. I want you to know, get ready. You know, this is it. Just get ready. If you haven't been ready already, you need to have, how much food you got under your bed? You thought I was kidding, didn't you? Well, yeah, I ain't kidding, am I? Nope. We are going to talk about this week. I'll bring in a lot of different guests and a lot of people. We have a lot of guests lined up this week, but we're going to have some time, hopefully, to fill in with, you know, some of the other people that I wanted to get from Pork Fest and different people I met over the last week and traveling. I'm going to still be doing some more traveling in the weeks coming. This weekend I'll go to Freedom Fest and we'll be promoting the Freedom Summit that's coming up the first weekend in December. And that is going to be another woohoo, man. We always got it going on. You know, we have, just to let you know, our confirmed speakers on, Lawrence Reed from FEE. You know, the Foundation for Economic Education, Lawrence Reed, I heard him speak in Michigan a couple months ago. I said, yes, boss, we want to have him. Don Brudeau, he was at our first summit in 2001, gave a great speech. You know, Jeffrey Singer, William Buport, Judge John Buttrick, Dan Barker, Stu Crone, and Gary Franchi. Gary Franchi is going to be a speaker, too, in good company. And I have Gary on the line. Do I not, Gary?
Yes, you do, Ernie. Good to be back on the show.
Hello. You know, one thing I wanted to, when we were at Pork Fest, they had a movie night, I think it was Saturday night, and we went in and watched Don't Tread on Me. And I got, for donations, they were giving out copies of the movie. I got one here. We're ready to bootleg it like you wouldn't believe. But I'm looking at this movie, watching it, and we got a lot of things to talk about. Go ahead, tell the audience, give me all the goody on Don't Tread on Me, the movie.com.
Well, first I just want to say a shout-out to 91.1 WACA out in Alabama, broadcasting this show live right now. And thanks for sticking around to watch the film out there at Pork Fest. We made the film because after Camp FEMA, we felt there was a definite need to expound upon the state's rights sovereignty issues. Because if you watch Camp FEMA, we start to roll into that issue, the state sovereignty, state's rights. And Camp FEMA goes into that. We talk about the Second Amendment. We talk about the Ninth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment. We talk to a lot of state representatives who have introduced legislation to give teeth to the Tenth Amendment, people like Charles Key specifically, who is one of the big guys out there in the state sovereignty movement. And, I don't want to give away too much, but one of the pieces of legislation that he talks about in the film would seriously change the face and the way the federal government tries to impose their draconian legislation and unfunded mandates and just unconstitutional acts upon the states. We talk about, Edwin Vieira is in the film too, and we talk about his Sound Money Bill and the Constitutional Militia. It's a really great film. It helps, I guess, you know, the term that most people like to give it is it's a civics lesson on steroids, if you would. And we just came off the heels of that day on Saturday. We had over 250 screenings nationwide of that film. So the film's making a lot of waves. We're educating a lot of people, giving people the right tools, I think, to take back this country for the states and for the people.
Okay. I'm going to play the anarchist here, okay? Because that's what I do. It is important. And you said where is it? 91 point where? Did you say Alabama, Atlanta? What did you say?
Yeah, Alabama, 91.1 WACA. The truth.
I got the email, and we'll start doing some I just got back. I got back last night. I've been gone for a week and a half. Went to Pork Fest. Went to California. Went to Vegas. I've been traveling, and I just got back. And we'll be doing some promos for them. So I'll let you know. We'll start doing promos for the affiliates. I had friends that are traveling around the country, and they're like, hey. I'm traveling through Utah. I heard you on radio. Cool. So this is, we're expanding, as have been your reality reports. Now, this is one thing that I want to talk about. We watched your movie, and I got the impression that, it gives hope. There are legislators. They know there's a problem. They know they can introduce legislation. They know they can pass legislation where the states and the rights of the individuals are, given priority over the federal government, and you give them the finger and say in your face, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll see what happens. This has to be done. Somebody's got to do it. But you don't mind if I plan for... it's not going to work, okay? Because somebody has to be out there going, yeah, what if they go, yeah, and we got tanks? What if the federal government goes, yeah, the federal government, we went to the Supreme Court, which, one of our guys in black robes that we pay, that we, got through confirmation hearings, got up there, and they said what we wanted. Oh, I'm so shocked. Okay, we got that. I'm under the idea, the plan, the contingency of your effort to get the states and the people rising up against the man. What happens if that doesn't work? That's where I'm kind of but it is.
Ernie, that's why we also focus on the Second Amendment and the constitutional militia.
Yeah, see, you keep saying that, constitutional. What if I don't give a rip about what the Constitution says? What if I'm going to do it regardless? So that was one thing. I tell you why I bring this up is because what you're doing has to be done. Somebody has to do it. Because it's like in the Declaration of Independence, they go through, say, look, man, to a candid world, we got to tell you all the things that we did. We pleaded. We petitioned. We begged. We went through all the little gyrations. We jumped over all the hurdles. We did all the stuff. And therefore, we must acquiesce in the necessity. And I'm going, okay, well, that necessity, somebody needs to kind of just, get a bead around, what that means. So we're out here, declare your independence kind of stuff. So I'm like, big supporter. I know a lot of people that are big supporters of yours. I know a lot of people are, wanting to make sure that you're taken care of and you continue doing exactly what you're doing. We will be promoting the movie. We are doing showings here. They did a showing here at Freedom's Phoenix. While we were back there, they were doing that here. We are, man, Gary, you the man. But what happens when the federal government says, no, Montana, you can't manufacture firearms. California, you can't have marijuana dispensaries. Arizona, you can't do whatever immigration thing.
This is what they have to do. They have to stand their ground and say, no, we are the states, and you guys better back off. That's what they need to do. And if the states don't have the cojones to do it, well, then it has to come back down to the sheriffs and the sheriffs and the counties.
Okay,
and if the sheriffs don't do it, then the people have to stand up in defense of the laws that are passed by their own legislators in their states.
Okay, now this is where it's important that you keep doing what you're doing, and why I support you is because you have to go through this process to make sure that people are justified in their own head that they are the good guys. They are doing the right thing. They have exhausted all peaceful means. It has to be done, people. It has to be done. And Gary is doing it. And I'm supporting him doing it. But history has shown that they don't give it up. I'll read this one, Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass, was he a freed slave or was he just a free black man?
You know, you're asking the wrong person. I don't know.
He was a black man during, slavery, you know, and he's advocated. He's, you know, educated individual. And, man, he wrote some good stuff. A lot of people didn't know Frederick Douglass was a black guy. You know, I mean, you know, the man had it going on. And he goes, this struggle may be a moral one or it may be a physical one. Ah, this is a good quote. I'll wait till after the break to do this because this right here is what, you know, it really had an impact on me because I saw it on a T-shirt, part of it, at Pork Fest, and I'm like, man, if that ain't the truth. And I interviewed Larkin Rose. I've been reading his book, Iron Web. We need to talk about that, too. When we come back with Gary Franchi and what he's doing with his television on the Internet. Oh, the battle continues.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
William Wallace, you stand in taint of high treason.
Against whom?
Against your king. Have you anything to say?
Never in my whole life did I swear allegiance to him.
It matters not. He is your king.
It matters not. He is your king. No, you know where I'm going with this, Gary. You know, I'm just, you know, this Constitution kind of federal government kind of. Hey, man, I never. You know, how am I? Where did I? How did they get jurisdiction? How would you? It matters not. He is your king. What happens when? What happens when the man is saying stuff? I'm like, you know, I don't give a crap what you guys are saying. You know, I'm done. Oh, here's one. This is good. This is good. This is good. We had this last week. Big deal. Supreme Court recognizes Second Amendment as a individual right. Chicago, you can't fill in the blank, okay? So they say, fine, you can have your gun in your house. You step on the front porch, and you're going to Hooskow, okay? So I'm going, you know, this is and this is what I'm afraid of. The federal government's going to come up and say, oh, absolutely. You know, we 14th Amendment citizens, man, you belong, you all to us. The state's got to do whatever, even though the Bill of Rights says Congress shall make no law. Okay? They're going, well, you know, what does that have to do with the states? Well, we're going to be begging. You got the right, and you got the gunnies, and you got the NRA, and everybody. They're going, yeah, Supreme Court saved us. Not addressing federal gun laws, just the states. The states can't do this. So then right around the corner, what are they going to say? The states can't do a bunch of other stuff, too.
Right, and that's why this Second Amendment ruling coming down from the Supreme Court is almost like a paradox of sorts, because while you have them saying, yes, the states cannot go ahead and restrict gun ownership, through the 10th Amendment, any powers not delegated to the federal government, the states have in their power. So I'm thinking this is an ultimate paradox.
Well, explain, you know, what you can understand my point. They always talking about, you know, everybody, all organizations, political parties, organizations, clubs, whatever. They're always so worried about the club. Nobody ever even worries about it. They don't even mention the individual anymore. We got the federal government. Oh, it's a state government. Oh, it's a city government. It's a county government. It's a government. I go, hey, yo, what about the, you know, in my house government? Okay. What about me? The whole point of you guys even existing was about me. And it never even comes up, Gary.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So now we have your movie. It's talking about, you know, the states, our state legislators are going to go save us. Okay, well, fine. Let's go see if they can, because we have had positive movement. That's one thing that's in your movie. They show a whole bunch of, hey, man, you know, we got legislators out there being ornery and all. And we've got, you know, governors signing stuff. So, you know, what do you think the real battle is going to be? Is it going to be in federal court? I mean, is it a state court's going to decide this? The state Supreme Court says, yep, we can do it, and bite. And they go, nope, we're going to the federal court. We'll take care of it. You know, it's just like, even though the O.J. Simpson trial, where that one officer got found not guilty. So what happens? Here comes the federal government, go prosecute them because they can. You know, so I'm just going, this is, you know, whether you approve of getting him or not, that's not even the point. The point is that when the federal government wants to exercise its authority over the individual, which state is it that's going to protect that individual? Who is that? Where does that happen? What state is that?
Well, Ernie, I mean, there's a lot of states that are exercising their right to pass resolutions to reassert state sovereignty in various venues, whether it's through the manufacture of firearms or whether it's just, as the legislator in our film said, a snapshot of how the state feels at that moment about the federal government's encroachment upon their rights. So which state is it going to be? They're all doing it. I mean, not all of them, but a very large percentage. Over 30 states are now introducing different types of sovereignty legislation. Which one is going to be the one to push back completely and say, well, hey, folks, I guess we're just going to have to secede from the union if that's what it takes? You know, I don't know which one that's going to be.
Okay, now which one is it? Legislation, statute, or resolutions? We are hereby resolved and whereas and gosh darn it,
well, resolutions are generally pretty weak.
They're nothing.
Like, this is how we feel. You know, but an actual statute that becomes law and that type of thing, that's when you have like the Montana and Tennessee gun legislation.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, those are the pieces of legislation that any firearm produced within those states to stay within those borders are now exempt from the federal firearms laws. They don't have to be registered. They don't have to be tracked or anything within the United States.
Yeah,
as long as you stay within those states' borders.
I think Arizona did the same thing. But the thing is that, is that going to stop the ban?
The BATF steps in. They send out letters to all these states saying, oh, no, you have to comply with us. You know, we're Big Brother, and we're going to come over there with our men in black, and we're going to firebomb your windows, and we're going to, you know, smoke out all your women and children like we did at Waco.
You know, see, this is where this Frederick Douglass quote comes in. You know, this is you can see, it's so neon flashing obvious where this is going. This struggle may be a moral one, or it may be a physical one, and it may be both moral and physical, but it must be a struggle. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never, ever, 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 ever will. Find out just what any people will quietly submit to, and you have found out the exact measure of injustice and wrong which will be imposed upon them. And these will continue till they are resisted with either words or blows or with both. The limits of tyrants are prescribed by the endurance of those whom they oppress. This is a perfect example of, like, camera fraud here. Oh, the people got creative. They went, man, oh, heck no, that was their line. And it got, and they kind of, you know, they fell back. And then the same company that's doing the camera fraud thing is taking them down as we speak, you know, gets bought out by another company that the state legislature's going to give them all the roads, and they get to charge tolls. We're going to get a little cut from you when you speed. Heck, we're just going to own the road now. I'm going, seriously? Seriously? I mean, how bad does it got to get, Gary?
Well, that's absolutely disgusting what you just disclosed to me. I didn't know how bad it was. But, you know, you talk about that quote, and the point that stuck out for me was where people will silently allow themselves to just become subject. And you look at the Patriot Act, you look at that law that was passed, allows for sneak and peek provisions, warrantless wiretapping, you know, national security letters, and where is the real public outcry? I mean, you do have, you know, these organizations coming out and saying, oh, you know, we don't like it, we'll slap you on the wrist, and we're just going to go and protest it. But where is the actual, you know, people on the street standing up? I mean, look what they're doing in Greece. You know, look what just happened in Toronto.
Well, tell
over
us
here in the United States, they just sit on their asses and they watch American Idol and they order Domino's pizza. I mean, what's it going to take?
You know, I tell you what I know. I know we're going to find out. There's no doubt in my mind. And this is, you know, one thing that I've kind of held off and I've been waiting for. It always comes out. I mean, the truth always comes out. This Gulf oil spill thing, I've been kind of holding off, waiting until we get, you know, somebody that's really, you know, got rented their own submarine. You know what I mean? So I'm going, doing some study over this last week. You know, when I had a chance, I kind of put some stuff in. I'm looking, doing some Google searches and watch some videos and everything. This is a lot worse than they're saying. And I am like, there is going to be something that is going to break the camel's back. And this isn't a straw. They just took a big giant log and just chucked it on there. You know?
Well, they've just excluded all press from that area now.
No, see, that's my point. You know, I'm going, you know, I think we should go. I mean, I'm like, you know, God, do I, you know, seriously, do I really have to go down there? Do I gotta go? I mean, at a certain point, it takes journalists like you and I to do it. You know, maybe we'll team it up. We'll talk about it. You know, maybe Gary Franchi and Ernest Hancock, oh, we're coming. You want to get on the no-fly list? This is how you do it. We'll talk about it more when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me and the soon-to-be incarcerated Gary Franchi. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Games. 150 days of games. He was cleverer than I thought.
Clever. The whole of Rome would be laughing at him. They weren't so afraid of his Praetorian.
Fear and wonder, a powerful combination.
Yeah, fear and wonder, a powerful combination. And what else do they go on to say? They go on to say, he understands. It's not the marble of the Senate. It's the sands of the Colosseum that give them the power. It's the mob. The mob. And that's what Gary and I are working to try and change the minds of the mob. Or at least give them something to have a mind. You know, the propaganda. And I tell you, it's not about what you print. It's about what you don't print. And this golf thing is definitely what you ain't printing. I mean, I get an amen on you from that, on that, Gary?
Oh, absolutely. And now, like we just said before the break, they are excluding press from the Gulf oil spill location. And what that tells me is that they are specifically excluding and controlling the media that is coming out of there so that for whatever purpose, someone's going to gain, someone's going to benefit. And I believe they did that in certain Soviet bloc countries as well, controlling the media. Am I right?
No, I remember when, you know, fax machines were illegal. You're not allowed to have printing presses. You got to have a numbered whatever. You know, this is, I mean, on steroids. Wait. You hear me talk about her all the time. It's my daughter-in-law, Laura's come by with my new grandson in her belly right here. Got a granddaughter, got a grandson coming. Got to say hi.
Hi.
Hi. There. Okay, hi. You can go. Now they're like, no, we're not going on. We're not going to do it. At least say hi. Everybody's got to say hi. So they're, her and my son are visiting. You know, the thing is, this is control of media has always been about what, you know, keeping you in the dark. Now they'll find you want a bunch of news. Fine. Here's Britney Spears' latest girlfriend or whatever. You know, who cares? But that they'll fill that stuff in just to entertain your mind and keep it full of stuff that doesn't matter, because the things that matter, not only do they not want you to know it, after everybody already knows it, after it's already known by everybody, then they spin it. It's just BS.
They're feeding the American people fluff and garbage on the nightly news, on the 24-hour news networks. It's a completely controlled media syndicate. I mean, getting talking points right now from the Council on Foreign Relations. You know this. I know this. And that's why you do the show. That's why I do my reports. That's why we have to win the hearts and minds of Americans with real information, empowering them with facts and action and how they can take part in this revolution. That's what the film is about. Don't Tread on Me, movie. You can make copies of it. You can burn it. Send it out to your friends and family. Do whatever you got to do. It's time to light the fire, and we got to kick the tires on this American Revolution, man.
You know, well, tell me, how do you expect? I mean, there's one, you know, how I'd hope it would go, and then there's kind of how I expect it to go, and then there's ways that you advocate for it to go. So I'm going one. How do you expect this revolution to manifest itself?
how do I expect it? Well, I expect it to, unfortunately, I think it's just going to continue on this acting on legislation. I think it's going to maintain with street actions at Federal Reserve banks. I think there's still going to be a mass media awakening using tools like radio and video and media and magazine. I think that's really how it's going to continue to go. How would I like it to go? Well, maybe that's something we can reserve for an offline conversation.
You know, I would. This would be my preference. Oh man, slap themselves. The federal government slaps themselves on the forehead. And, you know, does the I could have had a V8 thing, and they go, "Oh, you don't like it when we do that. Oh, all you had to do is tell us. You know, we're so sorry," and they go away. And they just, you know, we'll leave you, we're going to, you know, we'll bring all the troops back to the borders, we'll protect America, you know, from invaders, foreign and domestic, and we're just going to, you guys can be free here and do whatever you want as long as you're not hurting each other and we don't care. You know, that would be my preference. That would be the, you know, get down to that Federalist Papers, anti-Federalist Paper warnings that were saying that the Federalist Papers guy were dreaming and what was going to happen. They got all that, they pinky swear promise of what they were going to do. They do that, I'm good. You know, it's not worth me getting off the couch. I can start drinking my beer again, okay? But I expect, and what I advocate is that people just become aware. They just understand. They just go, look, I mean, do you or do you not own yourself? Okay, I own myself. Now what? Well, that means that, you know, like somebody else doesn't. Okay, I mean, this is not hard to understand. What I expect to happen is that there is going to be big bad bureaucrats that come out and say, guess what? We own you. You will comply. Without laws, there'd be chaos, blah, 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 blah. And we're going to tell you what those are.
I think the revolution, though, is taking place on an individual level. And it's individual decisions. It's small decisions that are taking place on a massive scale that's really going to have the biggest impact.
I agree. And that's what I'm building up to, is that what is going to happen is there's going to be individuals that will just make their own decisions, just live their lives in such a way as to, you know, the government and their rules and their laws and regulations and their taxes and their licenses and all that. It just doesn't matter. You know what? Come over to my house. I'll cut your hair. And you say, oh, you can't do that because that'd be illegal. And they're like, you know what? Don't care. Come over to my house. We'll go in the basement and we'll do your nails. And I'll charge you an ounce of silver. Okay? Come on over to my house. You mow the lawn and I'll trade out by helping you prune your trees. You come. I mean, it's going to start because we have the technology to do it. We can communicate with each other and you create a large economy that's totally off grid and you need to trade in what? Well, you know, trade a barter of services and silver, gold, you know, whatever you got under your bed. So I'm going, this is already happening. And when we were at Pork Fest, that's how they did it. Everybody traded in. So they'd have stuff in dollars. Well, then they had the equivalent in silver. And the people were trading all kinds of different kinds of silver tokens. They had silver-based money that was all kinds of different forms and jewelry and cards and all kinds of stuff. Everything. I went there with a bunch of, you know, silver ounces, just old junk, you know, liberties and so on, going out there and just trading, you know, whatever, got everything I needed, I'm good. And this is how, and these are young people. The average age was in the 20s for, I don't know, 700-800 people there. And I'm just going, this is how it's going to be. They went, yeah, but you won't, and you still have to. And I'm going, look, I don't think I know. I sat there watching it happen. You know, so this is what's going to come. It's not going to be try and change the system, wrestle the dragon down and stab it through the heart and beat up the tyrannosaur.
The free market's going to make the decision for us.
I'll give you an amen on that one. It's going to happen regardless.
Yeah. Like I said, the free market is going to determine. The people are just going to say, well, if this is what I have to do. And there's something that was really powerful that Edwin Vieira said in the film. He said, look, if you have to learn, if you're a businessman and you have to learn how to do your business by trading in silver, then that's what you have to do. You know, if you have to adapt because the laws have become so draconian, and you have to survive.
Now, that's a good skill to even, you know, in fact, we've gone through that here. Every month they have a barter session. It's kind of a park and swap thing. And it's just a learning exercise that they did. They took the 1792 Coin Act, which defined a dollar as 0.77 ounces of silver. That's what a dollar is. A real dollar is 0.77 ounces of silver. So what they do is they just denominate everything in dollars, you know, dollars and cents like you normally would, but in silver. So when you say it's $2, well, what is it really? It's like 12, it's going to be like $25. You know, so give me two 0.77 ounce silver rounds or whatever, and, you know, got it. It's all good. Because we have, like, junk silver. You go now, a dime, that is, I guess it's a tenth of an ounce. It's 90% silver, and you figure it out, and there's calculators on the internet. But it comes out that each one of those little dimes is worth about $1.30, $1.40. You know, they're 1950, dimes, but they're $1.50 each. So you price everything in silver. And this is U.S. currency. This is, junk silver. They call it junk silver because it's not shiny and you're going to put it in some proof or something, But it's still silver. It's 90% of the metal is silver. It is freaking silver. And you go down to a coin dealer and you just buy it. I get people calling me. I had Gerald Salante on a couple weeks ago. And this woman from Tennessee calls and she says, I heard you guys. How do I do it? Where do I go? I go, well, you got coin shops? Look, right now, go online. Put coin shop. Gold and silver. There it is. Right there. That's where you go get it. Go get it. You need to trade it in. Fine. You go trade it in. The local silver guy here, he takes about 25 cents an ounce for the service. So if it's $18 an ounce, he's going to give me $17.75 an ounce. Some charge more, some charge less. Then you go buy it, you're paying a premium on it and so on. A lot of times you're better off to buy it from friends, that need to, the money for something. This is going to happen not later.
Ernie, there's a book I want all of your listeners to go out and research. It's called Secret Freedom Fighter: Fighting Tyranny Without Terrorizing the Innocent by Jefferson Mack. I think that this book needs to be in the library of every single freedom fighter across the country.
Go ahead, and when we come back, I'll go ahead and get that from you again. Have that in top of mind so that I can put it up on today's archive show. So people can go to today's archive on freedomsphoenix.com and go clicky, and there it is on Amazon. Get it all taken care of. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Sorrow. Yeah, it's always a constant sorrow. It's always bad news. And I bring you more bad news with Gary Franchi. Don't we got anything good to say, Gary? I mean, come on, man. One thing I want to do is go ahead and give me that book that you're talking about.
The name of the book is, the author is Jefferson Mack. The name of the book is called Secret Freedom Fighter: Fighting Tyranny Without Terrorizing the Innocent. And it basically gives step-by-step guide on how you can be an effective freedom fighter and you're not hurting anybody. Just little things you can do to resist in your everyday life. And it's a great book, and it's, I think, like I said, it should be in everybody's library.
One thing that I did, see, I got it here, Jefferson Mack. Let's see, I'll do the Amazon link so they can just go buy it. Okay, now what I did is I interviewed Larkin Rose when I was up there, and we did a show in the afternoon where we had him live on. And I had to remind myself that he and I have never actually physically met, but I feel like I know him so well. He writes on Freedom's Phoenix all the time. He's been, very out there on YouTube. He's been very active. He's very clear in his writings. And we've had a link on the site for his book, The Iron Web. And a friend of mine that was there got a copy, and he read it, in a day. I mean, heck, just a few hours. He's a really fast reader. Boom. And he gives it to me, and I'm about halfway through it. And I'll tell you, this is the first thing that went through my mind. I get about halfway through this book, and this is what I'm thinking. I'm going, one less book I got to write. So I'm going, cool. And the whole description of the iron web, what he's calling is basically what we've always been advocating, is that when you just have a bunch of freed minds together and they just trade with each other, there's nobody in charge. There's no head to lop off. There's no you know, leader to go get. There's nothing. It's an idea. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, so that is the power of this publication, this book that he wrote, The Iron Web. And it's just the manifestation in a novel form of just the very things that we're talking about. You just learn how to be independent as opposed to being dependent on a system that's going down. Okay.
Well, and that's what they're working towards right now. I mean, look at the healthcare program they're trying to instill, forcing everybody to buy healthcare, getting everyone locked into the system, you know, through the IRS enforcement of healthcare. I mean, it's disgusting what they have planned for this country. I mean, they're destroying it. They are destroying this country. They're removing all of the jobs. They're taking them all to China and Mexico. There's no manufacturing base in this country anymore. It's over. Welcome to third world America.
Well, you know, I mean, this is one that you can understand why, you know, someone... Oh, I mean, let's put it this way. You'll have, I'm sure, a lot of people in the audience. Now, they're like, heck yeah, Ernie, you're always with the negative waves, man. You know, Gary's doing good work. He's out there kicking butt and doing a good movie and working with legislators and telling the story of them going up against a man and everything. And I'm like, hey, I'm with you. Gary needs to do exactly what he's doing. Gary needs support to keep doing what he's doing. Gary needs to be out there making it extremely clear that every peaceful means was exhausted. At every level, we have to do that. But I already know where this goes.
Well, you know, there's no way that I want to take up arms against my government. I think it's a foolish act, and I think it'll just lead to just needless bloodshed.
No, I'm with you on that. No. I'm not out for go what? Go slay the dragon? Big deal. You got another dragon right behind him. I'm all about changing us. I'm not for. See, the thing is that people are like, it's the ring of power. You know, we got to go make the ring be good or get new guys behind the lever of power. We got to get new guys to wear the ring to rule me better. You know, the fact that they just advocate in their own head, they don't even have to go do anything. Don't go fight anything. Don't go shoot anybody. You don't have to do anything. You just have to come to the understanding that, you know what, I choose me to rule me. I just made that decision. I declare my independence, and I didn't even need a government form. Okay, I'm done. And
right, exactly.
And then what? Well, you know, you just, you know, try and stay out of the way of the coughing up blood dinosaur and get away from his tail because he's going down no matter what. So I'm not advocating going over there and count coup on him, go poke him in the eye or anything. I'm just like, hey, man, I'll wait over here. I'll go on vacation. You know what? I just go like this. I go, is this thing on? You're free. I'm going golfing. I mean, you know, that's all I advocate. So I'm not saying we need to go fight anything. What I am saying is we do need to be prepared for when they are kicking in your front door, taking away your children to go to some mandatory whatever it is, mandatory shots. Ooh, we'll get into that. Mandatory shots, mandatory youth indoctrination camps, mandatory service to the king in some sand heap halfway around the world, mandatory you got to go in some civilian, you know, so that we can better as good armed and as well equipped as the military kind of crap. You know, we hear this from him. So the one thing that you're working on, I remember seeing in some of the stuff that you were doing, something about mandatory vaccinations. Tell me about that.
Well, actually, that was part of Camp FEMA, the first film, and we're working on the sequel to that right now, Camp FEMA 2, which is now titled Enemy of the State. And mandatory vaccination. We've got some really, really sick interviews, Ernie. Former police officers who have been trained by Homeland Security to pull people out of their homes, to forcefully inoculate people, and put. I mean, we have the interviews and we have the footage of the inoculation centers. It's terrifying.
We uncovered it here. We did big giant signs that said support first responders that say no to mandatory shots. And it had a skull and crossbones, and the crossbones were syringes dripping blood, and, you know, and a skull with a red, you know, cross on its forehead and stuff, you know, the kind of a, you know, like a Red Cross symbol, medical symbol. And we hammered on this here because we knew that Homeland Security here, now think about it, Janet Napolitano was our governor, and they had created an entire infrastructure, and I tell you what they did that was so insidious. They created a mechanism by which if somebody was arrested for a DUI and declared to be, you know, ultimate DUI or extreme DUI, or they're alcoholics and they got problems, the court can mandate treatment for them, okay? That infrastructure, these clinics, that paperwork, that path, that road that they created for mandatory treatment of alcoholics is exactly the overlay that they're using for mandatory vaccinations. And we went through the legislation. Who did it? Remember when Obama declared a national emergency? You know, when he did that, the states were expected to follow and it would enact all this stuff. Well, we were on top of it. We had the video in the face of our governor here, Jan Brewer, at the time. She's at the Arizona State Fair, and one of the videographers is there asking us questions and hammering on them. We got the signs. It had to be a cultural thing. And what happened is the local fire departments started getting their inoculation, their shots for them to take, and they just sent them back. They said, we're not doing it. Because I knew if you supported the first responders, the nurses, the doctors, the police, the paramedics, the firemen, and they no heck no, they're not, we're going to support them not doing it, well, then we had a better chance. What if we just fed them to the wolves? Well, they're going to make us do it too. So I can see what's coming. It is already in place. They already have systems in place that they're just overlapping what they're doing. And they would have done it if the people had not risen up on the internet in other ways and manifested their displeasure. It would already have happened.
Well, and I don't recall Obama ever rescinding his national emergency.
Of course not. They got national emergencies going on for decades, man. They never rescind them.
Yeah. Because they can always use that emergency power for whatever they need.
Tell me about your Camp FEMA movie coming up. Camp FEMA 2 or Enemy of the State, whatever you wind up calling it. You know, you're starting to get more information, are you?
Yeah, we just got a really good interview with a former police officer. And, you know, he was trained by Homeland Security, like I said, to forcefully vaccinate people and quarantine people. We've got some other interviews in Oklahoma. We actually went to a facility, got footage inside the facility. This was last week. We just got that footage.
It's
frightening.
Hear what they did is that the way the law was written, sure, you can claim religious exemption. You don't have to get vaccinated. Of course, you got to be quarantined and get on the bus and we'll take you somewhere, but you don't have to be vaccinated. You can say, nope, I don't want to be vaccinated. Not a problem. You don't have to be. Get on the bus. And I'm going, this is in legislation. This is sitting there. Right there. You know, it was so bad that when we looked at it, the Arizona Department of Health, we found it. I mean, we finally, you know, did freedom of information requests, and we're threatening them. We're recording phone conversations. We're being real buttheads about it. So we get all this. Finally, they just spilled their guts because one of the guys is running for political office, and he didn't want to be the guy that was obstructionist. I mean, it's just all politics. So we get this, and you go look at the paperwork that was giving them the authority, and what it was, it didn't even have our governor's signature on it. It was a copy, a PDF of a paper that was done by the governor of Virginia or something. And they just like, yeah, here's the package, just go post this. They didn't even have to have them, so they just did it anyway. Now I'm going, seriously? Wow! We have to have people like Gary Franchi. Franchi, go ahead and give out your website you want people to go to, man.
DontTreadOnMeMovie.com. Everyone becomes secret freedom fighters right now.
Secret freedom fighters. Well, it's not that secret if you're going on the internet. But you know, you can go ahead and find it. Well, while you still can, before you have to have a government token to even go look at websites. You think I'm kidding. Gary Franchi at... I'll go ahead and get the website out real quick again.
DontTreadOnMeMovie.com.
We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in just a little bit.